Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Wow, hard to believe we're already an hour to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Keep those tweets coming in at E Radio Sports. We're going to have Robert Harris Jr. rejoin us. And, you know, I'd mentioned in hour one he was on vacation. You took a big trip. You are back from Paris, and I saw that beautiful picture of you and your girlfriend in front of the Eiffel Tower. That's pretty special. What an incredible weekend.
Yeah, once in a lifetime. It's a surreal moment. I still kind of like pinch myself to say, well, I was in Paris, France. I tell everybody, go there. You will love the city. It's a romantic city, I guess. some very great sightings that you have to go to, the Louvre, the Eiffel Tower, the Arch. So I enjoyed my time.
Well, you still look pretty slim. I mean, so you didn't load up too much on the food? I mean, that food's got to be pretty amazing, right?
I have a lot of respect for your show, and I do not want to say what the food did taste like over there in Paris. It wasn't that good. It was some spots that were great, but some other spots there wasn't good.
Really? Yeah. That's kind of interesting to hear. Okay, let's get back to business here. Let's talk about your team, Bobby. So I know how much you love the Rockets, and there's been some movement that's taken place. We've not had a chance to catch up. Mm-hmm. But do you believe they have now enough pieces to win a title? What's your belief?
I'm trying to understand the small ball, honestly speaking. They added Jeff Green. They added Carroll. Some stuffy veterans that can add to the bench. I think I just got to see it play out. I don't believe that this was a championship team at first with Capella. Now you traded Capella. Now you're questioning, can this team gel? I think they built this team around Russell Westbrook's strengths.
You know, I saw earlier this week, Harden had made the comments that he believes that once the Rockets get 100%, they get healthy, and they're going to be able to put it together, that they will be tough to beat. But, I just wonder, we've talked about it on the program, how are they going to match up against some bigger opponents?
I guess shooting threes until that doesn't work. I think they're going to have to play a lot of small ball, a lot of mid-range shots from Russ. The threes have to go. They have to connect every time they shoot it in order to beat teams badly, because you can't drive in the paint. You're going to get blocked by Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert, you know, I also think of Zion. How will they defend a player like that? Because he's a beast. He's a big boy.
He is a double-double machine.
He is a double-double machine. He's bringing his best. Robert Harris has been with us, kicking off hour two. Come on back. Much more. Straight ahead.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour two, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. The Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Many different ways to connect. You can always go back and listen to each and every one of our guests. I love all of our guests. This is a guest-driven show, and they provide some great information. You can also email the show at info@eradiosports.com and Twitter @eradiosports. Our program being brought to you by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They will help you with your auto repair, your maintenance and restoration projects. They make it so easy. So if your car isn't stopping like it used to, you can contact the guys at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. I tell you what, we've been hitting it hard. We have covered a lot in hour one. Now we're in hour two. We've talked to NFL draft, PGA news and notes, some NBA news and notes. But right now we're going to do a complete crossover. We're going to head out and visit and talk about the National Lacrosse League. And we are so honored to have with us tonight from the New York Riptide, that is Connor Kelly. And Connor, it's your first time on the Big E Sports Show. Good evening.
Yes, how's it going? I'm happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. And I tell you what, I'm so impressed. I mean, you've had a tremendous season. And I just want to share with our listeners tonight. I mean, you're second on the team in points with 30. You've had 13 goals and 17 assists, which both are second on the team. And you tied your career high with 4 goals in Calgary earlier this month. And so this is your second year in the league. You were in San Diego last year. In your mind, I mean, Connor, just step back for a moment. And just, you know, thinking about the season, how it's played out, how would you summarize?
Well, it's definitely been an uphill battle. Obviously, being an expansion team, I was in San Diego, as you said, another expansion team, but a lot of veterans on that team. And I think it was sort of new to us this year. A lot of younger guys, a lot of young talent, and a lot of guys that are trying to make a name for themselves. And I thought it's been an awesome opportunity for us. We're continuing to get better. So I'm happy about our situation. I'm happy about how I'm playing. I'm happy about our team culture that we're building here. So I'm excited about the future.
So what is the forecast? I mean, how many more games do you guys have on this schedule? And Connor, talk to us. I mean, how do you think this is going to play out? What's the mindset right now?
So we have about 8 games left in the season. A bunch more home games at the Nassau Coliseum. So excited about that. And honestly, what we see going forward is trying to win each and every game. But we're focused on the next one, which is obviously New England at home. And that's sort of the process that we sort of focus on is the next game, because we're trying to build a winning culture. And it's definitely not easy in this league being so competitive. But it starts day by day. And obviously we were on the call last night as an offense, getting together and talking about our next opponent. So we're excited about what's ahead.
You're listening to The Voice, Connor Kelly with the New York Riptide. You bet. We're talking National Lacrosse League, and we had your coach, Reggie Thorpe, on. Oh, it was probably about a couple of months ago, and you just mentioned, you know, building a winning culture. So it's interesting, I mean, because the New York Riptide, this has been a year, this is your first year, in the league as far as with this particular team. So what has that been like as far as how do you go about building a winning culture and, you know, building a team from scratch?
Right. I think it just starts with leadership and getting guys right from the top. And obviously our captain and Dan McCray, our assistants and Andrew Suter, Tyler Digby, John Rannigan. And then obviously our head coach, as you mentioned, Reggie Thorpe. He's an awesome guy, an awesome coach. And I'm just so blessed to be playing for him. And I think that's the biggest thing in building a winning culture is to be surrounded by great people. And I think we have that. It's just a matter of time. It's just putting that sort of product on the floor.
So, Connor, what do you do as a player to encourage your teammates, build that camaraderie? Because team chemistry, it's definitely key.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's everything. Obviously, we're a team that's young guys, as I mentioned, and we're building that chemistry each and every game. So we're finding ourselves, but it's really about positivity. I mean, I wouldn't want to be around any negativity. We want to continue to help each other out, influence each other in the right way, be good influences on and off the floor, whether that's working out, nutrition, and on the floor is working our tail off and supporting one another. And I think that's the key for us is just continue to support one another, and it's going to continue to roll and get that ball rolling.
You know, Connor, you're an overachiever. You had an amazing career at the University of Maryland. I got to share with our listeners tonight. I mean, you were a first-team All-American. You were a finalist for, and I hope I don't botch this, it was the T. Wharton Award, which is equivalent to the Heisman Trophy of lacrosse. So what did you learn at the University of Maryland that prepared you as a pro, you know, taking your game to the next level in the National Lacrosse League? How did that help you for this level?
Right. Yeah, I was blessed to be at such an awesome, awesome school and awesome organization. It was just, we're surrounded by great alumni, a great school, and a great coaching staff. And they recruited heavily around the country. They didn't stick to just the Maryland, the hotbed of Maryland. And I thought that was the best part. You got to meet so many different people that came in and sort of bought into the goal of reaching that national championship. But I think it was sort of twofold. Obviously, you want to do great on the field, but what made us so successful and what made me so proud to be a part of that school was they focused on like the academics and outside of the field. And they really care about your well-being after college, and that's their biggest focus. And I think that's why the school is so successful, and I think that's why I was able to be successful there. Because they truly cared about you, and that I truly felt that as a player, and that helps you succeed on the field.
Absolutely, that culture, and you know, as a player, I mean, I was a former basketball player at the University of Oklahoma. I mean, you always know it when they really care. Hey, Connor Kelly is with us tonight with the New York Riptide National Lacrosse League. We're having some fun, and it's interesting, as I share, you are a native of Easton, Connecticut. But take us back. I mean, how did you get introduced to the sport of lacrosse?
Right, so I grew up in Easton, Connecticut. I first started playing around second, third grade at a local rec program. I think lacrosse sort of getting away from the rec side, going in the club scene, but I started in a rec program, and I sort of followed the footsteps of my older brother. He's a couple years older than me, and he started to play. And once I saw him play and love it, I immediately gravitated towards it. So that's where I sort of started and sort of followed in his footsteps all the way to college. So.
Well, and, you know, growing up in Connecticut, I'm sure it's been a lot of fun for you to have the opportunity to play in front of your family and your friends at the Coliseum. I mean, they're getting a front row seat, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. They try to make it to every game. Obviously, they're busy, but they try to make it to every game. It's awesome to have them in the stands. Being out in San Diego, they were a little far, so it's tough for them to make his games, but to be back home and to have so many family and friends be there to support, that's everything, honestly, to see them after the game, win or loss. So it's been an awesome experience.
You know, Connor, the league has enjoyed recent success in the sponsorship department, and so with this major growth in revenue, where do you anticipate or where do you see the league heading in the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years in terms of attendance and growth?
Right. I think the indoor league has been truly just blew my mind right from the get-go. I never played growing up, and once I jumped in the league last year coming out of college, to realize just the fans that are behind this sport in each of the markets, like New York, like in Canada, and I think in the next couple of years, it's going to start to move south into the United States, and that's when the game is going to just boom, because there's going to be so many more players, so many more athletes wanting to play this game. And I think a lot of markets can hold an NLL team, and I think it would thrive in the States, and I know it's going to do that in the next 5 to 10 years.
Hey, we've got about another minute tonight on SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are visiting with Connor Kelly, the New York Riptide National Lacrosse League. That's what we're talking about. Hey, weigh in. We had, as I mentioned earlier, head coach Reggie Thorpe was on. What's it like to have the opportunity to play for him, and how has he helped you with your game?
He's awesome. Honestly, just, you know, playing for him for Team USA, he's a player's coach, and a lot of guys talk about that.
Nice.
But he's truly a guy that cares about his players, and he's never looking at you like you're a subordinate or you're just a player. He's looking at you like you're just another coach, and he's looking for input. He's looking to work with you. He's not telling you what to do. He's doing it first and hoping people follow. So he's a great leader in that regard.
Absolutely. He's got a lot of equity in the game. What, 20 years of experience in lacrosse, and he was the captain of the 1993 Syracuse National Championship team. And I'm sure that he's a winner, and he knows what it takes to make it happen. Connor Kelly, New York Riptide National Lacrosse League, has been with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, continued success. And Connor, you got to promise me you'll be back on in the spring, and let's get an update, okay?
Definitely. I'll be back. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Congratulations. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Many different ways to connect. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Join us on Twitter at eRadio Sports Info, eRadiosports.com. You can always podcastarena.com. Go back and listen to all of our guests. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, here in Hour 2, it is time to turn our attention to some college basketball. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest storylines and some of the big games this weekend are right here in the Big 12 Conference. You've got Baylor, Kansas, Saturday, noon Eastern time tip. And which one of these teams do you think is going to win a national championship? We're delighted to have back with us. That is Lee Klein. You hear him each and every week right here on SB Nation, the next generation of sports radio. He is the host of That Bracket Show and has debuted, what is this, season 4 for you, Lee? It's good to have you back on the show. What year are we on now?
This is year 5, which is incredible when you think about it. And it's been great, SB Nation Radio, where it's at. And That Bracket Show, which you could catch 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time every Saturday morning. And we'll have a great show again coming up for you tomorrow. So let's talk about this game. This is a game I'm really excited to see. When you talk about two top five teams in America, both slated to be one seeds at this current time, Kansas and Baylor. Baylor, the longest current winning streak in Big 12 history. 23 in a row. And then, of course, you got Kansas, and that's, you know, they've been the dominant team in the Big 12 for, gosh, so long, having given that away last year, having it taken away from them. Here's their opportunity now. They lost at home to Baylor. Here's a little shot at redemption. They're playing great at this point, and we'll see. I think Kansas, you know, I'm not a betting guy when it comes to these things, but I do like Kansas tomorrow. I just think that Azubuike's playing at such a high level, and he's really a tough task. He, of course, when it's all said and done, will be the all-time leader in field goal percentage in NCAA history, just to give some perspective of what type of career he's had so far at Kansas in college. And Devon Dotson's playing at a real high level. Should be just a tremendous game. Noon Eastern time tomorrow there
in Waco.
ESPN.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Lee Klein is with us tonight, SB Nation. You're going to hear him tomorrow morning, host of That Bracket Show. Check out their website, thatbracketshow.com, as Lee had just mentioned, 10 to 12 on Saturdays here at SB Nation. And Lee, I always love, you know, when it is this time of year to have you on the program, because we are hoop junkies. We love talking about it. And this is going to be an epic matchup in Waco. You know, you look at Baylor, they've won 23 straight games, and KU has won 11 straight. So in this particular matchup, I mean, it could go either way, but Baylor's got the home court advantage. Who you got? Who's coming out on top?
Yeah, so I'm predicting Kansas with an upset. I just think that, and Baylor's been, you know, number one team in America. We know that they're the one team so far that's been able to hold on to number one, which in the beginning of the year, that was like a hot potato where no one could really keep it. I think that Kansas is playing at a high level. I think they've got something to prove. They've got a chip on their shoulder. Baylor is a team that really does it with their guard play and their defense. I think, though, the X factor to me is Azubuike and what he could do in the pivot and really put a lot of pressure on Baylor, on Baylor's interior defense. So to me, that I think that Kansas has an opportunity to kind of show that the Big 12 still runs through them.
Well, that's interesting that you bring up, because I believe that, too, in terms of I think this will come down to the defense. I mean, both of these teams, when you look at them and watch them on TV, as we have many times, they can score in multiple positions. But it is going to come down to defense. And when you think of Kansas and Baylor, these are two of the best defensive teams in the country, right?
Absolutely. And they're just playing. I mean, what Baylor's been able to do, I mean, I hate to bring it up, but they just dismantled your Oklahoma team, Norman,
at the Lloyd Noble Center,
and they've been playing at just an incredible high level. You know, Kansas is a little bit more versatile offensively. Devon Dotson, we talked about, is playing at a real high level. He is a as good a guard as there is in America. Be a nice battle individually. Him, Jared Butler, you'll get to see both of them. To me, the margin for error for Baylor is just a lot slimmer because they need to play incredibly on the defensive end in order to be able to really have a shot at winning, and they've been able to do that, and they've got great guard play, but they are undersized. You know, Freddie Gillespie's been playing, you know, playing, doing a great job as their five man, but he's an undersized five. I do think Isaac Bukie, who is a big and empowering presence, will have an advantage there, and we'll see if that, if he's on that court for, you know, 30 plus minutes, I think Kansas is going to be able to take advantage and find a way to get a win.
Haley Klein with us, SB Nation Radio, host of That Bracket Show tomorrow morning, 10 to 12. Let's pause for a moment. Your show is always so informative. We love, as I said, this time of year. So give our listeners, let's help you out here, Lee. Give a sneak peek. Who's going to be on that lineup tomorrow?
Oh, we have an incredible lineup. We've got Steve Peichel, the very fine coach of Rutgers.
Oh, yeah.
Pat
okay.
Chambers from Penn State. We got Randy Bennett from St. Mary's talking about the WCC. We've got Texas own Kyle Keller from Stephen F. Austin, as we're looking forward to connecting with him. Darren Heitner will be on talking about the new controversial, the whole, you know, athlete endorsements and the NCAA stand, and that's going to be a fun segment. And we've got we're talking brackets with Bracketville Dave, and so we'll talk about the bubble teams and who, you know, where things are looking as far as that goes. So it's going to be a great show, and I hope our listeners could tune in and get, you know, really get down and dirty and ready for game day.
Those are some good guests. Lee Klein with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. Let's turn our attention back to the Big 12 Conference. How did this become a two-team race between Baylor and KU?
Well, West Virginia is probably the next best team, and offensively they've just had a really hard time scoring the basketball. And so they've really now, in some ways, come full circle, in which they've got to make, for them to make a run, it's defensively and offensive glass. Those are really the two strengths of this West Virginia team. Their outside shooting and their offense has kind of abandoned them a little bit. It's a long season, so you do get these you know, peaks and valleys throughout. We'll see if they could gain some offensive confidence, ride a spark, so they could be a little bit more multidimensional and be able to maybe challenge one of these two teams for the Big 12 crown. Right now, though, they are distant third. Texas Tech, which you know, had a big transition, clearly, you know, there's a team that was in the championship game. They lost critical pieces, you know, lottery picks, all that. So they're, you know, again, very good defensively, still trying to figure it out some offensively. It's a tournament-level team, but, you know, they've taken a half step back from where they were a year ago.
Okay, we've been talking about the Big 12 Conference. Let's shift gears and head out to the ACC. And for the third time in four games, North Carolina has, you know, went down to the wire, and they were unable to come up with answers and had that, what, one-point loss to Notre Dame. What's been your takeaways just watching UNC from afar?
It's interesting because there are teams that have seasons like this. They're usually not wearing the Carolina blue. So this is, and you know, Roy Williams, who's, you know, Hall of Famer and will go down in this generation as one of the great coaches, has not been able to come up with answers to help him get wins. And, you know, I know there's a lot of criticism in regards of, does he have the talent? And he's certainly, you know, the cupboard as you move forward. He's got four McDonald's All-Americans next year. You can't feel too sorry for, you know, North Carolina from a talent perspective. They've had injuries. They've had setbacks. They've lost this, they lost the confidence and the ability to win. It's kind of like an X factor that it's really hard to prepare for, but there's, you know, there's that feeling that we're going to find a way to win a game. And in this case, this season, it's, they found a way to lose. And too often that's been the case. And what it brings up, and again, I think they'll be back next year after this year. And the question will be, what happens next? You know, Roy Williams, he'll be back next year. They'll have a good team. They'll probably have a decent record. But what happens to North Carolina when Roy Williams decides to hang it up? Who's going to coach? Who's next? usually this has been that Carolina family.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been some connection to, you know, to Dean Smith.
Well, let's head out to the West Coast and highlight one of the biggest surprise teams in the nation right now, and that is the San Diego State Aztecs. They have an unblemished record, 26-0. They are running away with the Mountain West Conference. They're unbeaten. So tell me, Lee, this is my final question for you, but what do we need to know about this team and program, and what makes them so darn good?
Well, and they've had an incredible year, and it starts with Malachi Flynn, who's really stepped it up, pro-level prospect, their point guard. This is a really well-connected team, and it's interesting because they put together transfers. They got, you know, a guy from Vanderbilt. They've got a guy from Washington State. They put this team together because last year, if you remember, Mountain West was a very good conference with Nevada and Utah State, and San Diego State was too young. So they went, they were able to use transfers, and they really playing at a high level. It's one of three teams in top 10 in the nation in offensive defensive efficiency, and they're going to end up undefeated going into the Mountain West tournament. I really believe that. So it's been an incredible season, incredible year, and we'll see if they could take an undefeated record and a one seed,
mm-hmm.
and the one seed could end up in California. That would be a huge advantage for them going into the NCAA tournament. But Brian Dutcher, he will be on top of the, you know, coaches to covet list. And this is a fun team to watch. They really play with great chemistry, and they're connected.
Absolutely. Host of That Bracket Show, 10 to 12 Saturdays on SB Nation Radio. He's always got you covered. We love him. Lee Klein, join him tomorrow morning. Thank you so much, Michael.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it is Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. We love to hear from all of our listeners across the country. You can join us at Twitter, at eRadioSportsInfo, eRadioSports.com, and PodcastArena.com. Did you know it is O-Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts? You can stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O-Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, oil, tools, accessories, and so much more. And perhaps you're not an O'Reward member yet. Sign up today online or in-store and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It is fast, it's easy, and it's free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, it is time for some NFL news and notes, and we are always excited to have back with us. That is Christian Dyer from Sports Illustrated. And before we take a deep dive, talking some NFL, NFL draft, and specifically on the Jets. Give us an update. I know Father's Day is not until June, but how is little Timothy? How is he doing these days?
I love that you ask, Alyssa. So little Timothy's doing well. For those who are your longtime listeners, he's 13 months now.
Oh, my gosh, really?
And I have 13 times the number of gray hairs now and sleepless nights that I had before. But what a joy, what an honor. He's 96th percentile in height right now.
Oh, my gosh.
So we might be lining up a tight end or maybe an outside linebacker, potentially. Dad is hoping for a little bit of a cheaper sport.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, but college scholarship, any way we can get the college scholarship will be good. So I'm already working on his footwork, and he's not walking yet. He's running. Uh-huh.
Okay. So, oh, he's running.
He went straight to running pretty much. He walked for about a week and said, this isn't for me. It's too slow. So he's doing well. Thanks for asking. And, appreciate the love and the prayers of everybody.
Absolutely. That is awesome. Well, you know what? The Jets might need him because down the road they were 7-9 in 2019. So let's take our conversation there. I mean, Christian, how do you think they should approach the 2020 NFL draft so they can reach the postseason? There's a lot of restless Jet fans. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah, it's still going to be, I think, a rebuilding 2020 for the Jets. You're probably eyeing 2021. They're going to have a lot more money coming off the books. Le'Veon Bell, which is a contract that right now, a year ago, was looking like an enticing one, adding a Pro Bowl caliber running back to the backfield, hasn't quite panned out. And the Jets are probably going to be stuck with him for 2020. 2021 is when he can come off the books with a minimal cap hit, about $4 million, compared to the $13, $14 million he would be this year. at the end of the day, the Jets finished 2019 on a high note. If you remember, Alyssa, we were talking in November. They were 1-7 at the time. There was talk that the head coach was going to be fired potentially. The Jets kind of stayed the course with Adam Gase. They decided that they trusted the head coach. They weren't going to take a rash move, you know, midway through his first season. And the team kind of rewarded that, I think, bought into what Gase was selling, what Joe Douglas, the general manager, who was hired after the draft in a little bit of an unusual move, kind of the direction of things. They finished the year going 6-2 in the second half. They had a couple big wins. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were a playoff team at the time of the win. They beat the Oakland Raiders, who were a playoff team. They beat the Buffalo Bills, who ended in the playoffs. So there were some signature moments for the team to build on, but it's going to be a lot more difficult of a schedule coming up. They play the Kansas City Chiefs, for instance. Everyone in the division is getting better and improving, with the exception of the Miami Dolphins. And they have a high draft pick, so they could be improving, too. I think 2020 is probably going to be a year too soon, a bridge too far to be talking about playoffs and the Jets. But if they can keep this core together, the offense can improve, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that in the next couple of questions. I think there's reason for optimism that 2021 could be the year that this core begins to turn the corner.
You were listening to the voice of Christian Dyer. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Christian R. Dyer, D-Y-E-R. Of course, he's with Sports Illustrated, always posting some great stuff online, good insight. And so I know you're talking, you know, 2021 is perhaps when things will mesh more and they'll be able to stride out a little bit more. But, you know, what should the mindset be in the offseason? What should they do this year?
Well, I think offensive line is going to be first and foremost. And, you know, you're familiar with Football Outsiders, the website. They kind of do a deep dive into analytics. Yep. And the Jets were bottom of almost every category, or second from bottom in nearly every offensive line category. The Jets haven't invested a top two pick, a first or second round draft pick, along the offensive line since 2010 when they selected Vlad Dukas out of UMass. Dukas is still in the league. He's not with the Jets, however. So they don't have any homegrown talent, so to speak, that they've been able to integrate over the past few years from the offensive line. They've only had one offensive line draft pick in the past 4 years. That was a third round pick last year. At the end of the day, this is a unit that needs to be vastly improved. The good news is there are some good guards available in free agency this year. There is some good talent as well in the draft. When you look at there's four, possibly five players who could be available for the Jets picking at number 11. Andrew Thomas, who was a player that was being talked about a few weeks ago as being a potential top five pick in the draft, has been slipping in recent weeks. He was a three-year starter at Georgia and a tremendous player. He could be available for the Jets at number 11, as could Jedrick Wills, the Alabama offensive tackle who had a tremendous year last year, is wildly athletic. Mekhi Becton from Louisville, who is an absolute mountain of a man. I think defensive ends will get tired just running around him, and you're not able to run through him. He's huge. He needs some work. He's a little bit raw, but there's going to be several players available there. And then the one I'm really intrigued by, Alyssa, is Tristan Wirfs from Iowa. Big Ten offensive lineman, and you know this. The Big Ten produces some of the best offensive linemen in the country year in, year out. They're throwback players. They tend to be very physical, strong, and Iowa and Wisconsin produce some of the best in the conference. He was Big Ten offensive lineman of the year, multi-year starter, can play right tackle or either guard position. So there's some position versatility there. So I think the Jets in the first round will probably need to address that. And if they're able to add one or two starters via free agency, it could be a very revamped, very different-looking team if they're able to infuse with some offensive line talent. Then they got to add, of course, wide receiver and tight end and other pieces. But I think that would be the big core that needs to step forward is going to be revamping the line.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sports Illustrated's Christian Dyer with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. Okay, so let's talk about some possible additions and some of these latest rumors. And that's one of the reasons why we extended this invitation to you tonight. Talk to us about Odell Beckham Jr. Would this be an ideal landing spot? I mean, why is there so much speculation about him returning to New York? Is it legit?
it's a lot of coulda, woulda, shoulda at this point. It was a story that originated with me. A source that said that if Beckham were to be traded, and we've seen the rumors that the Cleveland Browns might be ready to move on from Odell Beckham Jr. From what I've been told, Alyssa, he's not looking to move from Cleveland. He likes Cleveland. But if the Browns were dead set on moving him, and keep in mind that a year ago, the Giants moved on from Beckham, who they just signed to a long-term deal in 2018. Come 2019, they were moving on from him. But if the Browns were interested in moving on, a landing spot I've been told that Beckham would favor would be the Jets. They have a young quarterback in Sam Darnold. They have the cap space, and Beckham is one of the highest paid wide receivers in the entire league. So that is an important consideration. It's not just, I want to go someplace warm. I want to go someplace to win. Uh-huh. They have to have the cap flexibility. But I also think, and this wasn't told to me, but this is just my speculation here, Odell Beckham was traded by the Giants team that drafted him in 2014. What better way to prove a point to that team that they made a mistake than to do it in their backyard with the Jets to showcase what he's capable of? And there's also the chance for him to build the brand. So I think it makes sense from an Odell Beckham point of view, whether the Jets want this distraction, whether they want to tie up as much of the salary cap as Beckham would take in the year where they do need to add offensive line pieces, where they need to add an edge rusher and at least one starting level cornerback. That would be a big investment. Also have to factor in that they're probably going to have to give up a top draft pick, in all likelihood a first round pick. That's an awfully steep investment. I don't see this one as happening right now, but it's intriguing to think about it. As someone who covers the team, the headlines write itself. It would be fascinating from that point of view.
Well, Odell Beckham Jr., he's 27 years old, and it was just so interesting seeing how this was just popping up everywhere online. And, you know, I just had to wonder, you know, is he actively seeking a move? You know, why is there so much speculation, and will he be traded by the Browns? Okay, so let's get back on subject here, talking some more about the Jets. But you had just mentioned Sam Darnold a moment ago. I'm going to assume, you know, the focus in the offseason will be the continued development of him. What does he need to focus on?
I think a lot of what we saw in the second half of the year, and I mentioned just a few minutes ago, that 6-2 finish to the year is kind of what the Jets are hanging their hat on, A, to sell the free agents, but also B, the direction of the team. What Darnold did a nice job of was throwing the ball away. First half of the year, he was trying to force throws. I remember a game, I think it was week 7 or week 8 in Miami, and you know, within 2 minutes, the Jets are on the goal line looking to take the lead against the Dolphins, and Darnold rolls out and inexplicably underhand throws a ball. He's under pressure into the end zone, into triple coverage, and there was the interception. And that was one of those games where I think the Jets could kind of look back and say, you know, we could have had a different record if we had a couple of those plays back. And it was moments like that that typified the first half of the season for Sam Darnold. He did a better job of throwing the ball away. He took sacks when he needed to, which is an art form in and of itself in the NFL. And I think he just grew in confidence. He knew when he could make those tight throws, but he also knew when not to force it. So it's going to have to be an off-season of development for him. Mm-hmm. The good news is he's returning into the same offense. There was that transition between his rookie year with the Jets under Todd Bowles, and then bringing in Adam Gase, who's the quarterback whisperer to Peyton Manning in Denver when he had that wildly successful year. So there was a transition. Now he returns to the same offense. The language is going to be the same. The concept's going to be the same. The expectation level is going to be the same.
Okay.
If Sam Darnold made it through a year where he had mono to start the year, and then all the difficulties with the offensive line, it came out looking good and improved, that says a lot about his character.
Well, in 2020, this will be Sam Darnold's third professional season. And like you said, he had to overcome a lot of adversity, missing 3 games with mono. But I just have to wonder, too, you know, Christian, can he develop into one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the NFL? And what would he need to do to make that happen?
Well, top 3 is going to be an awfully tall task when you consider probably the face of the NFL over the next few years going to be Pat Mahomes. We've already seen him win a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson, who's proven to be a winner already in his couple years in the season. And then you begin to look at some of the other names that are popping in and around. And even within his own division, Josh Allen with the Bills had a tremendous year and took a big step forward between year 1 and year 2. It's going to be probably a lot for Sam Darnold. You need to be in the right situation. You need to be a little bit lucky, but he has the arm strength. He has the size. He has the build. And he has a support network. And Adam Gase, who I think truly believes in him and his ability. So if the Jets can improve the line, perhaps add a playmaker or two at wide receiver and tight end, I think he can be a quarterback that they can go to the playoff with.
Our NFL news and notes will continue with Christian Dyer from Sports Illustrated after this timeout.
The Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to rejoin right now Christian Dyer of Sports Illustrated.
Win playoff games and maybe be able to finally get this team back to a Super Bowl, which they haven't done since Super Bowl III.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sports Illustrated, Christian Dyer with us just a few more minutes tonight, SB Nation Radio. So let's do a crossover. We've talked a lot about the Jets. What about the Patriots? How concerned is New England about Tom Brady leaving? What say you?
Yeah, I think this is one of those very interesting developments. And it's a year of free agency, Alyssa. You can talk about the different names that are going to be hitting. So whether it's Cam Newton or Phillip Rivers or whoever it might be, there are a lot of veteran quarterbacks that are going to be hitting free agency. Even a Teddy Bridgewater, who I think could be very enticing for a team like the Patriots, given that his skill set, his ability, his quick release could be somebody that the Patriots might look at and say, it's now or never to move on from Tom Brady. There's also got to have to consider, we talked about Odell Beckham Jr.'s brand. How about Tom Brady's brand? What move's going to make the most sense for him as he has three more years playing in the NFL? What move's going to set him up post-retirement? And I think some of the speculation about the Dallas Cowboys is far-fetched, but it perhaps makes more sense than some of the other landing spots, given what they have at the line, at the skill positions, and just the fact that, if you're going to move on from the Patriots and those 9 Super Bowl appearances, what better place to go to? Perhaps the only place to go to that might be an improvement would be America's team.
Well, and I was going to say, too, when we're almost out of time, but what team do you think, in your mind, is the most motivated to land Tom Brady?
I would have to think that if it's not going to be the New England Patriots, and I still think New England's where he ends up, I think that Super Bowl commercial perhaps signaled a little bit he's not going anywhere. I could see the Dallas Cowboys being the team that would want to bring him in. He fits the mold. Mm-hmm. He'd be a lot less money than Dak Prescott. They could draft Prescott's replacement, Brady's replacement in a year or two and groom that player. And Brady, from a television point of view, gets into the NFC, and we all think that Tom Brady's going to be the next great broadcaster in the NFL. This gets him into the NFC and on Fox and opens up a bidding war between ESPN, CBS, and Fox and NBC. So I think from his brand being on America's team would be instrumental, it'd be huge, but I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to terrorize the New York Jets for a couple more years.
Well said. Hey, Christian Dyer's been with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Check him out, Sports Illustrated. And Christian, where can they find all of your stuff online? Talk to us.
Yes, at si.com/NFL/Jets.
That, of course, was Christian Dyer with Sports Illustrated. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests and our lineup. Also, our producer, Robert Harris. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. Don't drink and drive.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.